Welcome back, everybody, to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I'm Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre, and we hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. Myself, I had a few Bell's Lager for the lakes on the beach and went out in the backyard, celebrated not only America's birthday, but also my wife's birthday on the 3rd. So good happy call. Birthday to her again. And yeah, I actually tweeted out a picture on Twitter to Bell's Brewery, and they replied to Menace Podman, gave us a pretty cool response. I retweeted that.
Like, that was so awesome.
They're like, yeah, that picture's a slam dunk. I was like, that's sweet. So they got like, you know, thousands and thousands of, you know, followers and stuff. So I was like, hey, maybe that'll help us out a little bit. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Not completely intention. I just wanted to show off the picture. I thought it was cool.
It was a great picture.
But yeah.
I was jealous.
No worries. It was a lot of, I love that beer. It actually just won a gold medal too for I can't remember what it's called, but the little beer championships or whatever. So
I brought some over to your place last time I was there.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. Good stuff. So how about you? How was your holiday?
That was good. Just pretty low key, pretty chill. Went to the in-laws, spent all day there, mostly in the pool. So it was good.
Yeah. No, you had to be in the water. It was nice and hot here. So, yep. But yeah, hopefully everybody, maybe over the break, listen to the emergency podcast. We had to do it regarding the free agencies. So we dropped that out on Monday. Yeah, like you said it in the podcast, you know, it had to be done, had to be done. I was like, yes, we definitely had to. So
we had to get caught up.
Yeah, we would be way behind if we didn't do that. So hopefully everybody enjoyed that. It was a good summary. I actually listened to it a few times, and there's a few things I missed even when we were recording it. So it was a good refresher to listen to it again. But also over the last week, I was reading a lot of podcasts get discovered over YouTube, which of all places, I didn't think that would be one place that a lot of people would go for podcasts, but I've started doing it just with season 2. So I added, it's kind of like a still image type thing. And then it's just got the audio in the background. So if anybody likes to listen to stuff on YouTube for some reason, season 2 is out there. So check that out. And we actually might start recording ourselves like the other people do here in the near future or something, but that's to be seen. So we'll look into that though. Might be interesting.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. But yeah, as we continue honing our podcasting skills, we always like to thank Podcastle for their sweet podcasting software. And if you ever get the urge to start your podcast, I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. So do it, whatever subject you want to do it on, just go for it. Don't shy away from it. It's a lot of fun.
Well said.
Let's see. Also, so next week, we mentioned in the emergency broadcast, we will start the individual team breakdowns. I kind of figured we'll just start with the Western Conference. We'll start with the bottom dwellers of last year's standings, I guess, and we'll just go up from there.
That sounds good.
So yeah, so next week, we'll be aiming to start with Spurs, Rockets, Blazers, Jazz, and Mavs. Obviously, everything will be time permitting. So if we go too long with one team and, you know, we're getting towards, you know, making the podcast way too long, we'll cut it out and we'll move that on to the next week. So that's the idea there. And
sounds good.
So yeah, we got some news today to touch on, player news since the emergency cast. We'll focus on some talking points from the CBA, which we'll finally get to that we wanted to talk about for weeks now.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then lastly, the WNBA update as always. So actually, let's start with some good news first.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So yeah, we love to get started with some good news, and we got real good news from the Milwaukee Bucks. Sydney Dobner was promoted to be the first female assistant coach in Bucks history.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, she'll of course be working with new head coach Adrian Griffin. She was previously the head video coordinator under Coach Bud. And she was actually originally hired to work for the G League Wisconsin Herd. And then she was a basketball operations intern for the Milwaukee Bucks after that. So she's kind of just been moving up throughout the organization over the last few years. And yeah, I got nothing else to say other than it's awesome. You know, we love to see deserving women, you know, get the roles and the respect they deserve. And the Milwaukee Bucks organization just continues doing the right things. They look like a stand-up organization. So yep. I'd like to congratulate the Bucks and Sidney Dobner.
Great hire. Classy move.
I saw a video. I looked her up. It had like Dante DiVincenzo and stuff talking about her. So it's a couple of years old, but it was just a cool little video of like people talking about her. I retweeted it out on Twitter. So if anybody wants to see that, but, and as we stick on the category, the topic of women's empowerment, hopefully I pronounced her name right. I'm going to say Shetelia. I'm not sure. Riley Careful. Irving. Yeah. is the only, Black woman actually representing an NBA player. And as you might guess with the hyphenated Irving name, she is representing Kyrie Irving. She's actually Kyrie's stepmother. But she's also the first now to execute a contract since Kyrie signed his 3-year, $126 million deal. And, but she's not only his agent, she's also the VP of ad sales at BET. So she's not just, you know, Kyrie's stepmother and just got thrown here. She actually has a very successful career before that. So very experienced. Shout out to her as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's some good stuff to start with. And now we got some just some latest transactions to get updated with.
Yeah, you know, it was nice, like you said, you know, we did the emergency pod on Monday, and that really caught us up nicely. There hasn't been too much this week ever since, you know, we last talked, but we do have a few here, so we'll get to them. The Mavericks continue to be very busy. They acquired Grant Williams in what's going to be a sign-and-trade deal. It's going to be a 4-year contract. They're also getting 2 second-round picks. The Celtics are going to also receive 2 second-round picks, and then Reggie Bullock goes over to the San Antonio Spurs. So it's a 3-way deal, 3-team deal. And the Mavericks also agreed to an offer sheet with restricted free agent Matisse Thybul. So he's a restricted free agent with the Blazers. The Blazers are going to have, I think it's now 24 hours from the time that he signs the offer sheet. It used to be 48. We'll get into that. That's kind of a segue for later with the CBA talk. But yeah, I believe they're going to have 24 hours from when he signs the agreement, the official offer sheet, to match it. And it's sounding right now like Portland probably will match it. But that's going to be interesting because we don't really know what Portland's doing. We don't know what direction they're going to go. Are they going rebuild? I mean, you know, we talked about how Dame Lillard formally requested a trade. He wants to go to Miami.
And Miami only.
Yeah. But Miami doesn't have anything to offer that Portland wants. And so, yeah, we're kind of at a standstill there. And in any case, yeah, it's a good aggressive signing for the Mavericks. We've talked all about Dallas. I really like what they've done. You know, they had a really good draft. They've gone out and got a bunch of good veteran guys. They signed good free agents. Obviously, they brought Kyrie back. That was huge. That does not get old, man. That's
no.
So yeah, huge shout out to Mark Cuban and that whole organization. They've had their ups and downs, but they've really come out strong this offseason. It's been impressive to see. And if you're a Mavs fan, you got to be feeling pretty good right now. The Bucks made a couple of pickups here. They got Malik Beasley and Robin Lopez, both on 1-year deals. Robin Lopez goes back to Milwaukee, joins his brother, Brolo. we talked all about him and about
Sideshow Bob.
He went back. Yeah. And he's entertaining for a lot of reasons. I mean, I remember when he was there before and they did the whole wrestling thing. They did all that wrestling stuff before games. It'll be good to go watch some of that again. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but.
I don't think I remember that much.
Check
actually.
It out because it's out there. It's out there between Giannis and his brother and the Lopez brothers. Yeah, good times, man. And then just a couple other minor moves. Mason Plumlee is going to re-sign with the Clippers on a 1-year deal. Mo Bamba goes to the Philadelphia 76ers on a 1-year deal. And that's strictly, you know, insurance for Joel Embiid. And in fantasy, if you've got Embiid, you know, either take Mo Bamba with your very last pick or just be ready to pick him up if there's any kind of news of Embiid getting hurt or resting or anything like that.
One in, one out.
Yeah, exactly. And this one was a pretty big news story here. Bol Bol got waived by Orlando. Be really interested to see if the Pistons take another look at him. You know, they tried to trade for him before, and then he failed his physical. Trade got rescinded. It's kind of a mess, but yeah, just a, you know, ultimate flyer pickup right there if they can get him. There's a chance that somebody's going to claim him off waivers, but we'll find out here real soon. So, and then the only other move was Garrett Temple getting waived by the Pelicans. That was kind of a just a money thing, you know, just trying to create a little bit more space, get rid of a guaranteed contract. You know, they could always bring him back. But I'm guessing he'll probably go somewhere else. We'll see.
For sure. Yeah, like you said, I love what the Mavs are doing. I'm glad they got to keep Kyrie, though, and run that back for hopefully a few more years here. Very cool, but we'll see what they can do in the West. And then the Grant Williams thing, I think that's interesting with Boston, though, actually, because, you know, losing Marcus Smart and Grant Williams, they seem to be two big parts of their, you know, runs in the last couple of years. So be interesting just replacing those guys. Obviously, they have Porzingis now, though, so... But yeah. Also adding all those draft picks, that's kind of crazy. I don't know if they're like Danny Ainge style, just again, just banking all those picks, maybe make some moves in the middle of the season or something.
Yeah, I think it just helps to stockpile those because they're trade assets. You know, there's going to be a lot of maneuvering and stuff. You know, we've talked all about this whole, you know, second apron. Nobody wants a part of it. And, you know, everybody's trying to keep as much flexibility as possible, even if you've got, you know, humongous contracts at the top of your, you know, salary. You've got to be able to maneuver around the rest of your roster, you know, and stay within the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. That just makes Derek White all the more important there with guys moving around. But
yep, him and Brogdon, if he's healthy.
Correct. Yeah, Brogdon.
Malcolm Brogdon. Good player. You know, he's a really good player, and, you know, they're going to need him, like you said.
Yep.
They don't have the kind of guard depth that they've had before. And Peyton Pritchard, you know, we talked about him. This is kind of his time to shine. This is his opportunity that he's been waiting for. You know, he's been clamoring for it. I think it's deserved. You know, he's put in his time. But we'll see.
Yep. Sounds good. Obviously, as far as just other kind of current NBA news, Summer League, I guess, kind of officially started with the California Classic and that Salt Lake City. I don't know. That's a classic either. I don't know what the hell they call that, but nonetheless, those both have. And then Las Vegas, more interestingly here starts, Friday, I believe the 7th here, July 7th.
Yeah.
I saw some interesting thing. I also retweeted this as well, but the Toronto Raptors set up a practice court inside the ballroom.
I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, that's cool. It
was really
awesome.
Cool looking.
Yeah. I never imagined anything indoor at a hotel like that, but a great idea. It's awesome.
I wonder if the bubble was kind of like that too.
That's a good question. I have no idea, but that's maybe that's where that idea comes from. But pretty cool. Regardless, or irregardless, either one you want to use, the same word, right?
Yeah.
We get to see Victor Wembanyama Friday. and actually his first summer league game is a sellout now, which
I saw that.
Maybe not a surprise, I don't know, but yeah, we'll get to see Scoot Henderson in action.
We'll get to see everything, man. Have you seen the schedule? Every single game is nationally televised. I love it.
I did see that. I even saw it as far as like Drew League stuff and things like that were on the app and being you can find all these games everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool getting that out there. Scoot Henderson will be, I think, on Friday as well. Houston plays Friday. Detroit plays Saturday. So we'll get to see the Thompson Twins Friday and Saturday.
Whoa, hold me now.
So that'll be exciting. So basically this weekend you can see everybody for the first time. But obviously before today, Thursday, the 6th here, we have seen Brandon Miller already. We have seen Jaime Jaquez, and we've seen Chet Holmgren. We've also seen your boy, Julian Champagne. Champagne. Still got to get that drop ready for this, but yeah, nonetheless, well, Brandon Miller, obviously this is all early. Brandon Miller didn't look fantastic, but whatever, it's early. Jaime Jaquez did look fantastic. I still love him. I talked about loving him and his fit. He just seems ready to go. And Chet Holmgren, I can't wait to see him actually play now. I feel like he's just a walking double-double.
You know who I want to talk about who looked fantastic is your boy, Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I have a note here. I was like, he looks great, but I also don't... I feel like he was... I mean, he was had a big role. Like, why
he's a man amongst boys right now.
I know. I'm like, that's weird.
And they already announced that they're shutting him down. They're like, yep, we've seen enough.
Thank God. Thank God.
He's good. We talked about it. That's what they do. If you're going to go to summer league, you have to go to like the first 2 days. You've got to go day one or day two, and that's it. Because otherwise, they start shutting people down. They just say, hey, look, we've seen everything we need to see. It's not worth it. And a lot of free agents are there trying to showcase themselves. They're trying to play for contracts and stuff. So it's more important for them to be out there so that everybody gets a chance to see them. So that's all the more reason for these teams to take their draft picks and just say, okay, you're good. Go rest up, chill. Don't get hurt in any Drew Leagues and stuff like that. Yep. And we'll see you in training camp.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was out there playing, but yeah, no, he had 41 points or something and just absolutely destroyed. it was fun. But yeah, Jaime Jaquez, I kept talking about him being a possible like person that could be included in like a Dame Lillard trade or something. But I believe I had read since now he's signed his 4-year or contract or whatever that he can't be part of any deal like that. So,
Yeah, and they don't have the depth right now. I mean, we talked about the guys that they lost, you know, Strus, Vincent.
Yep.
They traded Oladipo away. I mean, he's obviously been hurt, but, you know, still, it's not a lot of depth there at this point. And, yeah, they're running out of options. So they're going to have to, if they're going to do this whole Dame Lillard thing, there are going to have to be multiple teams involved. I mean, I don't even know if three teams is enough. We might be seeing a fourth team included there, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
I'm so happy with Portland for not just giving in to, you know, demands and taking less or anything like that. If I were a Trailblazers fan, I'd be pretty happy about how this is going. I mean, it sucks that, you know, you're losing a star player or something, but if he doesn't want to be there, don't have your organization go backwards so far just to make him happy. So,
yeah, I mean, they tried, you know, they did the best they could. They did the best. They got the best guys around him. You know, he and CJ McCollum for the longest time, they were one of the best backcourts in the entire league. And, you know, they tried to get as much help up front as they could. Just didn't work out, you know, but it's a good chance now to hit the reset button. They've got so much youth and talent on that team that they can blow it up, you know, and just play the young guys. And, you know, they're going to be fun to watch. And yeah. They've got all kinds of opportunity to build on that talent.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should start using this drop for Dame.
It's true.
Yeah, until he gets...
The more these guys whine and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that.
But anyways, yeah, I think I'm going to put this one on record. I think Jaime Jaquez is going to be a stud, and I think he's going to make people in Miami say, Tyler Hero who? I think he's just going to come out of the woodwork and be amazing, but that's to be told very early, but I love them. All right. So now the fun part, the CBA. So they agreed on that. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what day that was, like June 30th or something, probably about a week ago when it finally,
that's when it got finalized, okay. But it's been agreed on for several months. Now we first mentioned it when they first came to the agreement.
Okay.
And we went into a couple of the top bullet points, but then we really never talked about it again. We just kind of tabled it, which is fine because, you know, it obviously had to get finalized and everything. It's for the upcoming season anyways.
Correct. So we had way too much more exciting stuff to talk about.
We did. So we did. So
kind of pushed
purposely,
it off.
Yeah, we tabled it for a good time, like now. And so we'll get into it. So first of all, we've talked at length about this whole second apron. Like we were saying, teams that exceed $17.5 million on the tax line will lose several key team building mechanisms, draft picks, abilities to sign other guys that become available on the free agent wire, etc. Just all kinds of stuff. So it just really, you know, hampers those teams that that like to spend and spend and spend, you know, because they're in a big market. They're just trying to even the playing field. You know, they're trying to make it more balanced, you know, for the smaller markets. And we've seen it's already like the stuff that the league's done, it's working, because we've seen teams like Toronto, Denver, Milwaukee, these smaller market teams that haven't won before, now all of a sudden they're winning. And it's good. You know, we've got parity. We've got stars on almost every team. We've got star power on like every team now. It's great. And it's exciting to watch. It makes it more enjoyable. It makes it to where, you know, you can't just turn on your TV or whatever and just be like, well, this game's over. Nothing to see here. You know, every game is exciting and, you know, entertaining and has stuff to watch. So it's been working out well. But that's kind of the biggest thing, is this whole second apron. But on the flip side to that, where's my note here? We've got teams now have the ability to carry three Supermax players instead of just two. So I think we're going to see more of these like Phoenix Suns and, you know, those type of approaches where you've got, you know, super max contracts at the very top of your roster, but then you're, you know, sprinkling in a bunch of, you know, minimum contracts and, you know, just those tactical signings that we talked about.
It's kind of when you play daily fantasy, it's kind of the same idea.
Sometimes
you want, you want to like load it up almost on the top exactly, and sprinkle stuff in. Yeah.
It's almost exactly what it is. It's exactly what they're doing. They're just, okay, we can spend this much, so we're going to have to sift through these guys, get this guy real quick. All right,
yeah, cool. You wanted to pick everybody off at like the smallest level. Yeah, that we're actually going to play, though, at least to give you some stats. And then just load up on the heavy top. That's funny. I just made a WNBA lineup that way the other day on a daily fantasy league. Yeah. it's exactly. That's funny. But
yeah. This is one of the ones that we talked about right away, was the postseason awards, you know, such as the all NBA teams and MVP. They're going to require a 65-game minimum. So these guys that are, you know, getting load managed and stuff, they're going to have to keep an eye on how much they're being managed, because, you know, you miss that 65-game marker, you can be missing out on a lot of extra money.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know there, and there's also an exception for, what, injury, right? If you, I can't remember exactly how it goes, like a season-ending injury.
Yeah, they have, it's not like a set number. It's, there are, like you said, there are all kinds of like little, you know.
Yeah, it's something weird if they played at least 85% of the team's regular season games prior to the injury. But I think there's a date for that too, maybe like May 31st or something, if I'm reading.
Yeah,
this one,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, but yeah, so just, I don't know. It's good to be in the back of your mind, but I love this rule and I'm so happy. I also saw something too that it says they want, voters to take that into consideration as far as their performance wise, which I don't know exactly how that works for voters to do that. I mean, you're just going, hey, please do this. But
I still hate how the media votes on this stuff. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. And I don't think that they should be able to dictate what kind of money guys are making.
No, man, no.
Yeah, no, but I agree.
That's probably a separate pod.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't know. I guess there's positionless voting now too. So you're supposed to, the most deserving players without regard to position,
which is good and bad. And that's always going to be a problem. I don't think we're ever going to have like a full, you know, solution to that, but they're trying and that's all you can do. Just some other bullet points here. Upper limits on contract extensions increased from 120 to 140%. And then this one, I kind of alluded to it earlier, restricted free agents. They get a 10% increase in qualifying offers, but also, to me, more importantly, the matching period now is 24 hours instead of 48. So as soon as a player signs an offer sheet, you know, typically in the past, it was like 2-3 days that teams had before they could match it or choose whether or not to match it. Now it's just 24 hours. So teams aren't going to be sitting in limbo. It was tough because restricted free agents a lot of times kind of got the shaft because teams were scared to commit their money and their time to that player and then miss out on all the unrestricted guys that they could be signing instead. So, you know, you sign somebody to an offer sheet, you're sitting there for 2-3 days, other guys are getting signed. And then, you know, the team that you sign the restricted free agent to decides, oh, we're going to match it. Now you've missed out on all of those players. So it's tough. This one we talked about right away too. I think we even mentioned it last week, but teams now have 3 2-way contract slots per team instead of just 2. So that's cool. Just, you know, like we said before, more jobs for the NBA, you know, 30 extra players now. So that's cool. You know, just an opportunity for those guys to develop and, you know, and just be in the NBA. And then we have the big one. We've got this in-season tournament. Yeah. At first, when they first came out with this agreement, they didn't have any dates planned, and they said it could take place in like November and December. Well, they finalized everything, and the new in-season tournament Final Four is set for December 7th and December 9th in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know there's supposed to be, what is this Saturday, the 8th? I believe there's an official announcement on it. So there might be obviously some more details there. But the stuff I've heard is weird because I read something too that said like the final game will not count towards regular season.
Yeah,
stats,
some of the games counting towards the regular season standings, but not all of them. And you did say this, it will be modeled after the WNBA's Commissioner's Cup and in-season competitions in European soccer. It is kind of weird though, man. There's going to be 6 intra-conference pools.
They didn't
5.
Say it was going to be based on the WNBA. We did though.
We did. But now they're saying that it will be modeled after that. You're right. Stats will count for the league's regular season, except for the championship game of the event. Select dates during the first 6 weeks of the regular season will feature group games against each of the other teams in their pool. So 2 at home and 2 on the road. And these games will still count as regular season games. The winners of each pool and 2 wildcard teams will advance to a single elimination tournament. And the semifinals and finals will be played at the neutral site in Las Vegas.
Yeah, players for still the, confused.
It is confusing. Players for the tournament champion will each receive $500,000.
Yeah, and that's what they're getting at. The incentives will make people play hard, which I'm sure it will with the money incentives. I guess I'm still trying to figure out, because the regular group stage, every team should play the same amount of games. But when you get to the knockout stages, obviously not the same amount of teams will be there. But those ones count towards stats for the regular season and the final game doesn't?
So here's what I have. I'm just going to read this word for word here. To compensate, the NBA's regular season scheduling formula will be modified so only 80 games apiece for each team are initially announced during the offseason. The first 2 rounds of the in-season tournament would then count as regular season games 81 and 82. The final would then be an extra 83rd game that will not count toward the regular season. Teams that do not qualify for the in-season tournament or are eliminated in the quarterfinals would then be scheduled additional games to reach their 82. So there's going to be additional games announced, almost like if there were games canceled or postponed or anything like that. So, it's going to be interesting. It is kind of weird, but you know,
and how that impacts to... that's gonna impact fantasy so differently too. About like, do those count towards your fan? Like, I don't know. Sorry,
they will because they're gonna count towards the, you know,
and they could be at all different times of the year though, like makeups and things like that. That's just weird.
That's crazy. I mean, you just have to stay on top of it, but you know,
I guess it's no different than you know, regular teams not playing because of.
I mean, it's better than it was a few years ago when we were dealing with COVID and guys were just constantly getting ruled out. I mean, if we could survive that, you know, this shouldn't be anything.
This is true.
But it's going to be interesting. We talked about it. The league's just trying to generate interest, you know, during that time period. And that's kind of a nice little like pre-holiday stretch there where they're really trying to transition after football season. They're really trying to get people that are really into football to now focus on basketball, you know, and they, we've talked about it before. The NBA really, you know, it kicks up their promotional stuff, you know, right around the holidays, right around the new year.
Yeah.
They really try to grab people and bring them in. You know, you see extra promotional stuff on League Pass and even fantasy stuff. So,
yeah, I guess that makes sense too, because I keep talking about how what really hooked me into basketball was the, you know, the bubble and stuff, and it felt like March Madness. So if you're implementing a single elimination knockout stages, it's almost like a mini March Madness bracket.
So yeah, this is clearly trying to appeal to soccer fans. They're really trying to say like, hey, look, you know, we've got something that's, you know, kind of an equivalent. You should check it out. And this is something that I think Adam Silver has been wanting to do pretty much since he took over. You know, we've, yeah, these rumors have been out there pretty much from day one.
And soccer is the biggest sport ever in the world. And worldwide. Now all we have to do is get basketball tournament. That's kind of like pickleball, and we'll be all set because, you know, pickleball is just exploding.
It has.
I hate pickleball, by the way.
I do too.
It pisses me off. This is off subject, but I drive by tennis courts all the time and people are just playing pickleball on them. And I'm like, come on, man, tennis
cave.
Is where it's at. Whatever. Sorry.
Rest in peace to the cave, which was torn down in favor of a pickleball court.
Wow. Ugh. If anybody doesn't know who listens, we played pickup at the cave. So that's why our hatred for pickleball. I didn't even put that together, man.
We might need to do a second behind the mic episode here pretty soon.
Now, how much we hate pickleball.
That can be part of it.
It sucks.
But yeah,
it's like lazy man's tennis.
It is.
It's like if tennis and ping pong had a baby and now, people just didn't want to move around.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't talk too much garbage because Lord knows I'd get my ass whooped, you know, trying to play any of these games.
I think I'd be pretty good.
I think you tennis, would be, you would be good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not me. Not me. I'll stay in my lane. Stick to hoops.
Sounds good. Let's see what else was in here. I know there was a bunch of G League. I know you talked about the two ways. So adding that, there was something about the combine and people not having to participate exactly.
Yeah, you know, we've seen in recent years just less and less participation with the combine. You know, especially the guys at the top, they don't want to jeopardize, you know, their draft stock. If they're already at the top, they don't want to worry about getting all these measurements and stuff. And they're, you know, everybody always talks about when Kevin Durant did it and how he couldn't bench press, you know, whatever it was. And it doesn't matter, you know, talent is talent. And, you know, these guys don't want to have to, you know, risk jeopardizing anything. If they're already coming into the draft and they're already being promised, you know, deals from teams and they already know where they're going to get picked, what's the point of doing any of that stuff, you know?
Exactly.
Just stay away, stay healthy, and, you know, show up at the draft and do your thing.
Yep. So, yeah, I think, and then what was the last thing I had here? The anti-drug program, marijuana has finally been removed from the prohibited substances list with legalization pretty much everywhere. So that's cool.
It is.
I saw something about tests going up though, or like urine tests is moving up. Which I guess other substances and things they still want to test for, but it's kind of interesting. I know we had a lot of people talking about the random drug tests last year that weren't so random after they scored, you know.
Yeah, when somebody gets a 40 or 50 piece, they're coming.
That's 5 pieces. That was good. And then lastly, you could invest in NBA and WNBA teams up to a certain percentage. I think it's like 4 or 5% depending on the either league, and somewhere with gambling and stuff, you could still invest in that as in
just
in
don't
way.
Do it on team property.
Yeah, or off. I don't even know.
I don't know either. Just be careful.
Yeah.
If any players are listening to this, just tread lightly.
Yeah,
I take it from us Lions fans.
I was gonna say we shouldn't even. Sorry, Tim.
Or anybody else.
He probably just broke something right
Earmuffs.
Now. But, anyways, but yeah, I didn't have anything more on that. I know you had the majority of that. You all said on that one.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
That's all I got, my brother.
So, yeah, this one's going to be a little bit shorter. We're at 35 minutes. I'm just going to cover some, yeah, this is it, right? WNBA, the WNBA update.
Here's the update.
So, just one thing as far as gambling is concerned. I just saw, so it started on the 5th, so yesterday, from July 5th through the 12th, leading up to the WNBA All-Star Game. FanDuel has a free fantasy contest that you can enter. It doesn't pay out a whole bunch or anything as far as bonus bets, but if you haven't played fantasy, like daily fantasy basketball, and you just want a taste of it and kind of get an idea how it feels, go on FanDuel and you can do there. I think there's one contest every day for, like I said, 5th through 12th. So check that out. And if you want help picking your players, you can use outlier.bet. We got the link on our Twitter page. They're awesome. They're sweet. Just check them out. They got an app. They got the desktop site. So you can check out the stats on those WNBA players. So biggest news, and this has been a constant though, but there's been lots of news and stories regarding the travel situations of WNBA players.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Liberty just had a alleged 13-hour day of traveling from Connecticut to Las Vegas. So there's a whole bunch of stuff here, and I've seen both sides of this, and a lot of people talk about, well, they're not like cash positive. They're not, you know, making a bunch of money. So why should there be, you know, flights for these ladies? But I don't know. The league changed some things. They got charters now for teams that play back to back regular season games. So that was nice. And they added it for, I think, like a Commissioner's Cup final and then all rounds of the playoffs now. It used to just be like the finals. And I think that was about it. So otherwise they fly commercial. So yeah, there's some videos out there and some big stuff about everybody complaining about it. Brianna's, I thought about this too. I don't know if this is a big deal, but Connecticut is not the most popular, destination for flights or anything. So maybe they had a little bit to do with the delay there. Obviously Connecticut's big for women's basketball because of the Huskies. So I'm sure that's why the WNBA team is there, but, maybe they ought to think. I guess you got to make it even for everybody. There was somebody else complaining too that said, you know, if we give them charter flights now, they're not going to go back away from it. And this goes back to the Brittany Griner situation at the airport that happened a couple weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
But people are like, hey, just give them charter flights everywhere. Why not? So we'll see what happens with that. But it's a crazy story. And I see both sides of it for sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's tough. You know, it's just working out. You know, from a financial standpoint, you know, just being able to balance it all. That's kind of the name of the game with the WNBA. You know, it's just, it's not the regular NBA. And unfortunately, you know, these are some of the, you know, the downsides to it, but they're, you know, they're working at it. They're trying to figure it all out. They're doing a good job and, you know, we're going to get there. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah. And there was, Brianna Stewart's out there saying, you know, she doesn't think they're asking for anything crazy. And she was talking about that taking their bodies and crunching them into commercial, you know, airlines, bigger people, taller people.
Yeah.
And you may know a little bit more about that than me.
Sure do.
But yeah, you don't, you know, it takes a toll on your body. Yeah. So,
yes, it does.
She talks about, you know, traveling, not being able to stretch their legs and how that affects their performances going forward into other games. And all I can say is it didn't affect her performance the other day, July 5th at Phoenix. I gotta read this line to you. This is pretty impressive.
Please do. 43
points, 12 boards, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers, 13 for 20 shooting, 65%, 3 for 4 from 3, 75%, obviously, if you do math real quick. Free throws, 14 for 16, so 87.5%, and only 2 fouls through 38 minutes.
I was going to say you should do the cha-ching
that,
drop. There it is.
She racked
count
it up.
It.
And if you put that on your fantasy team on ESPN, that was the equivalent of 70 points.
Yeah.
Which is most people that are good, maybe average 20 to 30.
Yeah.
She's averaging a little over that this year. She's up in the MVP conversation with Asia Wilson, but 70 is insane. That's probably almost like having three players having a good day. So
yeah,
it's ridiculous what she's doing. But there's multiple people with 40 point games this year, which is, I think, more than any other year. I think there's like 5 40 point games this year. So I might have that wrong, but you can double check me if you want. But
yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. But anyways, Asia Wilson, she was signed to a 2-year extension by Las Vegas.
No brainer.
Yeah, exactly. So well deserved and not a surprise. But as far as fantasy is concerned, Alana Deladon injury, I don't know how serious it is. I don't think anybody knows how serious it is right now, but she turned her ankle with like 15 seconds left in a game. You could see it. It was got her toe kind of caught underneath her. Did not look that great. But who knows? We've seen other guys like Jimmy Butler turn his ankle pretty bad and come back and go to the finals. So
yeah,
you never know how serious it really is, but it definitely can't feel good. But with her out, also Shakira Austin is out there in Washington. So yeah. I guess a good pickup right now might be Tiana Hawkins. She's only owned in 5% of leagues, so check her out. I actually made a trade this week, and part of that trade I got Michaela Onyenwere, from Phoenix, who I mentioned last week as a possible mm-hmm. pickup, and she actually had a really good game the last one or two times out. 20 plus points kind of consistently, and she's owned in like 55% of leagues, so she might be available if you need a forward there. Nia Coffey, nobody really has her on lists if you look across Twitter and ESPN and stuff, but she's in Atlanta. She's only owned by 15% of leagues. She's had 20 plus fantasy points in the last four consecutive games. So she's definitely an option, I believe, forward position. And then Minnesota, you know a little bit about Jessica Shepherd. She's been out with an illness, non-COVID. I don't know what it is. I think she's missed 7 straight games. So
it feels like longer than that.
So hopefully she's all right. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I dropped her because I've had so many people out. I couldn't sit on her anymore. Like I needed bodies.
We talked about that before. We only got the one IR spot.
Yeah.
So you gotta move people on and off of that if you can. They can't just sit there. But nobody's picking her up, so she'll be there even if she comes back and you want her. But Tiffany Mitchell,
because at this point, conditioning's a factor. She's not gonna be able to come right back in and play 30 minutes or whatever.
Exactly. But yeah, Tiffany Mitchell is also out there in Minnesota. So there's also Dorca Juhas, only owned by 21% of leagues. She's a viable option at forward. And Lindsay Allen, she's only owned by like 4% of leagues, and she's a guard position. So you got one forward, one guard options to maybe take some spots and get you some points if you need to pop some people into the lineup.
Yep.
But, that's really it I got for today as far as WNBA is concerned. Anything else from your side?
We have an update on something that happened while we were having our conversation here today. The Blazers are, in fact, matching the offer sheet to Matisse Thybulle. So he will not be going to Dallas. He'll be staying in Portland.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a 3-year, $33 million deal. Has a player option. $11.5 million player option in the third year.
Dame was probably like, match that and I'll stay in Portland. And then they matched it. And then he was like, I'm gone.
His agent, I saw a thing here. His agent is warning non-Miami teams, against trading for his client.
That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. I don't even know what to say about that. That's
crybaby right there.
Exactly. Anyways,
time to go, Maryland.
I think that's all we got today, but a little shorter format, 45 minutes here instead of an hour. Maybe people like that better, so let us know. Give us a message, leave us a review.
Well, we went an hour on Monday, so.
We did, but.
We're all caught up now.
Yeah, even if, but yeah, if the hour's too long for you, let us know. We'll try and, you know, limit it a little bit more. We'll see what we can do, but I think hour's perfect. I think we're packed with information, so hopefully everybody's enjoying it. Obviously, check us out on Twitter, follow us. Yeah, like I said, leave us some messages, give us some reviews. Again, there's only 9 reviews out there, and I know there's more than 9 people that listen to this for a fact. So, yeah, we think Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, everybody that allows us to get our podcast out on their platforms. We always thank Good Pods and FeedSpot helping us get exposure, giving us that nice rating. And yeah, again, leave a review. I don't care if it's just 5 stars, click it and move on. That's cool. We definitely appreciate
we'll take it.
But yeah, hopefully you're liking what you hear, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Scott.
And thanks.
And Miss Parman.